It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In yesterday's primary election, Wisconsin voters narrowed the field in key races for Congress and the state legislature and rejected two constitutional amendments on the ballot.
Sean Johnson is here to dig into the results. He's the Capital Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Sean, good to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Big story from yesterday, Sean. The state rejected two constitutional amendments, which we usually don't do. Once they make to the ballot, they seem to pass in the last decade or so. Talk us through what happened.
Yeah, it is a big story just because it's rare, and also because these would have been pretty consequential amendments. These were not a small thing. It was deciding how we spend money in Wisconsin state government. And when federal money comes in, right now, it's the governor who has basically unilateral discretion on how to spend that money. So when the state got all that money from pandemic relief, it was Governor Tony Evers who decided how to spend it. These amendments would have said, no, the legislature needs to sign off on those decisions, that the legislature needs to have a say in that spending. And voters rejected that amendment. So big because it's rare and big because it is keeping, you know, a pretty big distinction in state government in terms of how it's run and who makes the calls.
And Sean, I'm looking at the county by county map here. If you held these maps in front of me, Sean, and said, hey, Rob, this is a race between a Democrat and a Republican, I'd say, yeah, that tracks, because Dane County, Milwaukee County run up the totals on the no side of things. Reliably Republican counties, Wow counties voted for the yes. In a lot of ways, this tracked as a Democrat versus a Republican vote, even though, of course, it didn't say that on the ballot, right?
Yeah, I mean, you did see, like, several months ago, you started to see Democrats, Democratic office holders, the state Democratic Party, eventually Democratic Governor Tony Evers, out there campaigning on this issue. And I think when it first happened, it was like, oh, okay, this isn't just going to be like your normal sleepy constitutional amendment that kind of goes unnoticed. The party is taking a strong position on this. And then you saw they were spending big money on it. I think, you know, it became pretty well known in Democratic circles where the party stood on it, and they mobilized their base. And I think the party would look at how that amendment turned out and say, hey, look, we're pretty organized.
Sean, also on the ballot, seats for Congress, the Republican primary for Senate. I think people knew Eric Hovde was going to win. He did. No big story there. I think Congress, what congressional primary races did you have your eyes on?
Really, the 8th congressional district, the Republican primary there, and the 3rd congressional district, the Democratic primaries there. Those were both competitive seats. In the 8th, this is definitely a Republican-leaning seat. And so you had a three-way Republican primary for that seat. Tony Weed won the primary there. He has a general election ahead of him against Democrat Kristen Lierley. And so that's, not over by a long shot, but this is a very Republican district. And so Tony Weed kind of came out of nowhere in this race and was immediately endorsed by former President Donald Trump. And you see the Trump endorsement in effect. He went from being somebody who voters had basically never heard of in politics to a winner over a state senator and a former state senator, Andre Jacques and Roger Roth. Tony Weed won about 41% of the vote to Roth's 34%, Jacques 25%. So he moves on to November. And then the 3rd district, you had a three-way Democratic primary for that race. And that's significant because the 3rd district is one of those districts in Wisconsin. There's only a couple where we say, you know, it's actually competitive. Rebecca Cook won the primary there with about 50% of the vote. Katrina Shanklin, state representative from Stevens Point, came in second with 41% of the vote. Rebecca Cook will go on now to November to take on Republican Derek Van Orden, who won that district for the first time a couple years ago. This was a Democratic seat for many years under former U.S. Representative Ron Kind. But you know, the demographics in western Wisconsin have changed. Derek Orden won it, but it is one of those that Democrats will be focused on in November.
And Sean, quick look at the state legislature. We'll be talking about that a lot over the next couple of months. couple races, Timothy Ramuth and Janelle Branchen, known as the people who really carried the banner for former President Trump's election denial campaign, both in primaries against fellow Republicans, both lost substantially. What do you make of that?
I think that when it came to those primaries, you saw on the organizational prowess of Republicans kind of coming in heavy against Ramuth and Branchen. I mean, they were running against, incumbents who'd been at it for a while. In the case of Ramuth, the Ramuth race, you know, there were, I think, a substantial push to make sure that he didn't win. Tim Ramuth kind of made some enemies among Republicans when he was in the legislature. And so you saw the other candidates win in those races.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Now, what does it all mean? Anthony Chergosky is with us, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-La Crosse. Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start in your backyard, that third district. We now have that race set. This is Wisconsin's only really hotly contested seat. I think the closest thing to a swing seat we have in Congress in Wisconsin. Can you talk a little bit about the district and this race?
Sure. This is a sprawling district in western Wisconsin, and it is currently held by first-term Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden. Van Orden defeated his Democratic challenger by just under 4 percentage points in the 2022 election. So Democrats have this district circled on their list of seats that they would like to flip as they try to get that majority control back of the House of Representatives. And it was a contentious primary on the Democratic Party side between Katrina Shanklin, a member of the state assembly, and Rebecca Cook, a business owner and activist out of the Eau Claire area. Rebecca Cook had raised far more money than Shanklin. She has been impressive as a fundraiser. And she goes on now to face Van Orden in what will, as you mentioned, Rob, be a competitive race.
National money. Do you expect to see a lot of it in your neck of the woods?
Well, that was a sore spot for Democrats in 2022 because their nominee that year, Brad Paff, did not receive any national support from the Democratic Party. And he was badly outspent by Van Orden and the Republicans. I've heard that Democrats are interested in making investments into the effort to topple Van Orden. There are Democratic-aligned political action committees and outside groups that have been interested in weighing in. And of course, there's talk about the National Democratic Party getting involved this time around. So campaign funding will be very important as Rebecca Cook tries to develop her political brand and as Democrats try to launch a negative campaign against Van Orden.
Now, I said that's the only likely swing district in Wisconsin. There are probably Democrats saying, hang on, we have a chance in some other places. Do you see any other districts as competitive?
The first district is also on my list with Republican incumbent Brian Steil facing Democratic challenger Peter Barca. Now, Barca did not have a competitive Democratic primary. I'm not sure that this district will be as competitive as the third district because Steil is a more established incumbent than Van Orden is, and because Steil is a very impressive fundraiser. He will have ample resources to run his campaign. Still, Barca is a well-known political figure in Wisconsin, particularly in that part of the state. So the first and the third U.S. House districts could be competitive, and the remaining six are unlikely to be all that competitive.
A big story, maybe won't be competitive, but the 8th district, this switch. Mike Gallagher, Republican member of Congress, January 6th, very critical of the president on the day of the president's supporters raiding the Capitol that day, ruffled Republican feathers by refusing to join in the impeachment of a cabinet member. The list goes on. His replacement, at least as the Republican candidate there, Tony Weed, who's a business owner, main qualification, Donald Trump endorsement. What do you make of that switch?
That would be quite a switch going from Congressman Gallagher to Tony Weed. And what struck me about the results from last night is that Trump's endorsement was clearly decisive in determining the outcome of that primary election. The second place contender, Roger Roth, a member, a former member of the state Senate, was derided by Donald Trump as a rhino or Republican in name only. So Trump was highly critical of Roth. He was highly supportive of Weed. And this is not the only time, Rob, that we have seen Trump's endorsement matter a lot in Republican primaries. I'm thinking in particular of the 2022 race for the Republican nomination for governor, where Trump's endorsement arguably made the difference in helping Tim Michaels become the Republican nominee over Rebecca Clayfish. Now, at the same time, some election deniers did lose on the ballot, Tim Ranthan and Janelle Branchen. So it was not a, you know, it didn't go one way or another last night for Trump-aligned candidates, but Tony Weed's victory in that Republican primary was clearly a victory for Trump and the Trump endorsement factor.
As expected for U.S. Senate, we've got Tammy Baldwin against Eric Hovde. Now, the last Baldwin election, what, 2018? I hosted the election night special. I said, this is Wisconsin Public Radio, and AP had already called it for Tammy Baldwin at that point. It was that big a win for her. Do you expect a closer race this time in our last minute or so?
I certainly do, because 2018 was a year that strongly favored Democrats, and Tammy Baldwin decisively defeated her Republican challenger, Leah Vukmir. This time around, it seems like the electoral environment favors a closer race. Still, Tammy Baldwin is on track to outspend her Republican rival, Eric Hovde. And in order to keep pace, Eric Hovde is going to have to continue dipping into his bank account. He'll have to continue putting in millions of dollars of his own money into the race if he hopes to keep up with Baldwin.
And very briefly, Anthony, state legislature, flippable for Democrats.
Absolutely. The state assembly is flippable. It will take a political environment that somewhat favors the Democrats, but Democrats absolutely have a fighting chance at winning majority of the state assembly.
Anthony, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Anthony Chergosky, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-La Crosse. Earlier, we talked to WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Find lots more election coverage online right now at WPR.org.
Up on Wisconsin Today, thousands of primates undergo research in Wisconsin labs, but when experiments end, one sanctuary has a vision.
We're showing that there's an alternative to euthanasia.
A visit to Primates Incorporated, that's coming up here on WPR News.